I want to talk to you today about the prayer of Jabez. This is something I had to sit down with myself and say, self, you don't like this message because it got out and everybody's, the charismatics started preaching it, and this was how to get rich and analyze this prayer and all this stuff. And I understand that they take all kinds of things. But I had to get down and say, this is the Word of God. And it's an interesting passage in itself because this is basically all we know of Jabez. This is his life history. And, you know, in all of the Scripture, there must have been lots of people who did well, did fine, whatever, and has never got into the Scripture. But this guy, God says, I want to tell you about this man. And the only thing we know about him is this great prayer. So 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Comparing people, we find that of all the brethren, I don't know whether all of them were kind of lowly and he stuck out, or they were all good men and he stuck out above that. His mother called his name Jabez, and the King James margin tells us that is sorrowful. So something's going on there, see? Saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Well, I don't think she bore all the other kids with no sorrow, so something was going on in their lives. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest, and the King James margin tells us here that the Hebrew is, if thou wilt, bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, the word for border, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me, or do me, from evil, that it may not grieve me. And there was nothing wrong with that prayer request. God granted him that which he requested. Let's take a moment then tonight to look at this and see if we can be inspired to be like Jabez. Here's the story of a man who knew how to work through prayer. All that we know of this man is found here. The passage memorializes him as a man of prayer who labored for God through prayer. I want you to notice three things here. The man, then we'll look at his prayer, and then the answer that he received. So let's look at the man who prayed. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, sorrowful, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. In this verse, two matters concerning his history are mentioned. One is, let's call it his adverse background. His mother named him Jabez, sorrowful, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Since almost every birth is accompanied by pain and sorrow, it's unlikely that this child among his brothers was named sorrowful because of labor pains. God promised that once Eve had sinned. His name was given because evidently of the circumstances surrounding his conception and birth, those 9 months. The name literally means causing pain or sorrow, not just feeling sorrowful, but causing pain and sorrow. Whether this refers to the child himself or to the condition of the family at the time, sort of his birth memorialized a bad time, we don't know. But there was some cause of sorrow. Jabez had a family circle, but his mother and brothers are left nameless. He's the only one that stood out because he was more honorable. And then his outstanding honor, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. The Hebrew word here for honorable in this, the Hebrew form, there means to be made heavy, and the idea of weighty with glory, to be honored, to enjoy honor, to be made abundant, to get oneself glory or honor, to gain glory. Now, Just to share this, the early Jewish writers connected Jabez, to the town mentioned in 1 Chronicles 2:55. And the families of the scribes, which dwelt at Jabez, the Tirathites and the Shimeathites and the Suchathites. They're Suchathites. These are the Kenites that came of Hemath, the father of the house of Rechab. So they called a scribe. They concluded that he was a doctor of the law of Moses. The Jewish Targum then adds, and wiser in the law than his brethren. So they imagined that his scholarship drew so many around him to learn that the place became known by his name, that he started teaching, and they said, let's go to Jabez, and then they ended up naming the town that. However, there is actually nothing in the scripture and nothing in actual history that connects the man and the town. So it's not a very good argument. The only thing we know for sure is that he was a man of prayer, because that's what God reveals to us here. This, of course, a field of endeavor open to every believer. Jabez did not allow the circumstances of his birth to make him feel restricted in the blessings of God. You see, this is one of the great points here. You say, well, I'm not born to greatness. Well, that's really up to God, isn't it? You read enough history and you're going to find that there's people who their names are well known to us from history and victories and all kinds of things, that were born in very humble circumstances. It didn't look like, from a human point of view, that these were going to be great men. Jabez did not allow the circumstances of his birth to make him feel restricted in the blessings of God. So he did not consider himself doomed to a life of failure. This man is brought up in the passage to showcase his success in life as a result of prayer. So that's the man. Let's look secondly at the prayer he prayed. Verse 10a, Jabez called on the God of Israel. Kind of an interesting way of saying this. Saying, oh, that thou wouldst, thou, if you will, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me or do me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So notice here to whom he prayed. Jabez called on the God of Israel. Now, this could refer to God as the God of Jacob, you see, whose name was called Israel. Or it could refer more to the God of the nation of Israel. If you think of it as Jacob, God changed the deceiver Jacob into a prince with God. Israel, the prince with God. It is likely, however, that it refers to the nation, imagining that Jabez thought of himself as a member of the great nation of Israel, the people that were honored of God, beloved through Abraham, and given the word of God. God's record of helping Israel was given fully in the Bible, and Jabez understood that God had entered into a covenant with that nation so that he could call upon him with the full assurance of faith that he would receive an audience with the Lord. Christians have been brought near to God through Christ's new covenant. We have been given a covenant ourselves, and that is the new covenant that he says he'll write his law in our hearts, he'll forgive us our sins, and he'll have the Holy Spirit write his truth dwelling within us. So that's to whom he prayed, and of course, true prayer is always to God. But secondly, notice how he prayed, saying, oh, that thou wouldest, or if thou wilt. He was not commanding God, he was asking God. So this is actually in the form of a vow. Let me show you another vow, like Jacob's, in Genesis 28, 20 and 21. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way, protect me, guard me in this way, that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Jehovah be my God." So here, Jabez gives an unfinished vow. Such vows were often uttered in prayer at the time a man was entering into an important or critical activity. We do not know what he was vowing to do if God blessed. We have the, if God is willing, what? See, we don't know. The vow seems to be interrupted by the divine fulfillment of the request. It may have been one of those times that God answered before the asking was accomplished. There have been times when my wife and I have prayed, and we found that the answer came before we actually took it to prayer. We didn't find out about it till after we prayed. But God, being outside of time, can play all these sort of time tricks on us. Then let's ask what he prayed. "Bless me indeed, in fact, in truth, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil," or do me from evil, "that it may not grieve me." He asks for a divine blessing. It teaches us that that's not wrong. It is not wrong for us to ask for ourselves and those that, you know, our family, to have a divine blessing. "Bless me indeed." Jabez considered the divine blessing of greater importance than material things. To be blessed of God, whether with material possessions or not. And so made it his first request. Matthew Poole, commentator, said, "I trust not to mine own or people's valor, bravery, but only to thy blessing and help." He's giving this request in other words. This is to say, the first thing I desire of you is your blessing. I want to be the person that you can bless. So he knew that without God's blessing, all other things are of but little value. And in this, Jabez recognized a truth that many Israelites forgot when they turned to the idols of the nations around them. You and I need to remember Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," or in heavenly things, "in Christ." In the heavenlies is what it says literally, in the plural of heaven. So we have been blessed already because of our reconnection with God, our entering into the family of God through faith in Christ. So he asked for a divine blessing, then he asked for divine enlargement. Enlarge my coast. Enlarge my coast, or enlarge my border. Jabez is praying for more land to possess. Now, we tend to judge that and say, "Oh, he just wants more stuff." But before we condemn this request as greedy and selfish, let's consider the background of the request. On the one hand, Jabez may have been preparing to take more of God's promised land from the Canaanites. I say this because we remember Joshua 13:1. "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years." God tells it the way it is. "And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." He says, "I gave you a job, you haven't finished it, and you're too old to do it." Now, if this is the case, then asking for God's blessing, he's trying to fulfill God's will, God's expressed will, for them to take over the land. So he may be pictured as asking God to give him more of that which he had promised to his people, instead of lazily waiting for unoccupied territory to fall into his lap. He prayed that God would help him take what was promised. Jameson Fawcett Brown, the Scottish commentators, "The enterprise was in all probability the expulsion of the Canaanites from the territory he occupied. And as this was a war of extermination, which God himself had commanded, his blessing would be the more reasonably asked and expected in preserving them from all the evils to which the undertaking might expose him. If they are saying, we're not content to live with those that God said we are to wipe them out, man, woman, and child. On the other hand, Jabez may be pictured here as asking God to enable him to restore the fortunes of his family in Israel as he seeks to repossess all the land given to his family by divine allotment. It may have been that his coast, his borders, had been encroached upon by foreigners and so on. If this is the case, Jabez is seeking to repair the failures of the past within the family circle. In fact, we might just guess that such a restriction, such a lowering of their abilities, might have been the cause of the sorrow in which he was born. So then, to renew the hopes of the rising generation for the future. Interesting story about William F. Blackstone. He lived 1841 to 1935. He was an American evangelist and a Christian Zionist. That was back before my birth date, when countries around established Israel as its own nation. I have older books that are reading about the promise that God has about reestablishing Israel, and they say, we can imagine that Israel is now a country, and so on. And I get to say, yes, I've lived, I was born the year that this was all put together. I might be a second year that before it actually happened, but 1947 seems to be when they did that. A Christian Zionist then was yay for a land of the Jews, because they didn't have any land before that, recognized by the world. He was influenced by Dwight L. Moody, James H. Brooks, and John Nelson Darby. Darby was one of the first dispensationalists, and he had by our view today, he had a lot of things weren't correct, but he had the right attitude about rejecting the Reformed theology. In the prime of his life, while involved in the business of building and property investments, he exclaimed, oh, that God would give me $1,000,000. Imagine what that would be worth in the early 1900s. I would use every penny for the evangelization of the world. God placed in his capable hands $5,000,000. Blackstone was faithful to his word. He became a good steward of the fund. Many came to know the Lord because Blackstone asked God to enlarge my coast. All right, the third thing that he asked for, Jabez, was for divine strengthening, that thine hand might be with me, the mighty hand of God with me. Asking for God's hand shows his desire for God's guidance, for his power. It is a confession of his own ignorance and weakness. I need because I don't have in myself. People laughed at Saint Teresa, I don't know anything about her except for this illustration that I read, because she wanted to build an orphanage but had only 3 shillings. She said, with 3 shillings, Teresa can do nothing, but with God and 3 shillings, there is nothing that Teresa cannot do. I love that attitude. If God is leading you to do that, it's going to happen. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth, that stays in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or severed from me, plucked from me, you can do nothing. And then he asked, number 4, for divine protection. This sounds like it might be warfare. So he asked for divine protection, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. This word evil here refers to harm and misfortune, as it does often in the Old Testament. Jabez knew that if he succumbed to moral evil, the chastisement of God would result in loss and harm. So this is more like what Christ urged us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13, And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Matthew Henry comments on this, that he would keep him from evil, the evil of sin, the evil of trouble, all the evil designs of his enemies, that they might not hurt him, nor grieve him, nor make him a Jabez indeed, a man of sorrow. In the original, there is an allusion to his name. Father in heaven, deliver me from evil. And so it's not a bad thing for us to pray. We mingle with the world. We try to witness to the world. We try to reclaim the people of the world for God. And they may try to hurt us. The order of Jabez's petition shows a logical progression. It began with the blessings of God to be his greatest good. This led him to desire a larger share of the riches that God prepared for his people. The recognition of what that would require of him led to acknowledge his own ignorance and weakness and ask for guidance and empowerment. And then he did not desire independence, but ask for the fatherly protection of God. Then the third thing is the answer he received. And this is the great joy of telling the story. And God granted him that which he requested. Simple words. The ultimate test of every prayer is the answer that it receives. So point A here, answer received. God granted him. Granted here is more literally brought about. It wasn't that it just was given. It was he brought it to pass. The fulfillment of his desires was not due to luck, but came because God brought it to pass. A poem by Eliza M. Hickok. I know not by what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know that he has given his word, which tells me prayer is always heard, and will be answered soon or late, so I pray and calmly wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the way I thought, but leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own, assured that he will grant my quest or send some answer far more blessed. Wise thinking. Eliza M. Hickok. And then we'll close with this fact that the answer to his prayer was an exact answer. How precious is that? That which he requested. Jabez received what he asked for. This answer is evident that his prayer was in the will of God for him. In 1 John 5:14 and 15, and this is the confidence that we have in or concerning him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He gives us a hearing, we could say. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we shall have the petitions that we desired of him. And so we know from Jabez's prayer that this was the will of God, that it was pleasing to God. And so he became well known for the man who prayed and God answered. The prayer of Jabez furthered Jehovah's intention for his people. Jameson Fawcett Brown says, God in this instance proved that he was not only the hearer, but the answerer of prayer. That's the exciting thing about taking our prayers to him. This prayer of faith, desiring only God's will and the honor of his name, is always a mighty power for the advancement of the kingdom of God. So let us honor Jabez as God did in his word, and honor the tactics of Jabez to see, because sometimes we ask for God to bless, but we point to somebody else and say, and put him at the front of it. I would imagine Pastor Miru was saying, we need a translation here, and went to the Bible Society and said, please find some brave person who will take this on. And they said, yeah, I think we found him. It's you. He goes, oh, no. So God enlarged his borders here and gave him this wonderful job. And so it will be with us. I often have said, people come to me as a pastor and they said, you know what? What we really need here is this. And I said, that's great. Give me some ideas how to get that started, and let me know how that works with you. And they're going, oh, no, I don't think I could do it. Well, I'm pretty sure God led you to think about it for that reason, and I believe that to be true. Comments or questions?